We're going to start today in Luke chapter 22. Okay, and let's all pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for bringing us all together here this morning. I also thank you for every person that spoke in our first meeting. And Father, the fact that you're teaching them, you're lifting them, you're encouraging them. And Father, that they're able to encourage us with what they learn. Lord, we just ask now that you would come and guide us as we read your word. And Father, help us to be thirsty. Father, help us to treasure it, to cherish it. And Father, help us to be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. I was just told recently that about two-thirds of my sermons are not original, that I repeat myself. If I understood this person correctly, two-thirds of the time, I'm going to repeat myself this morning. I like to comfort myself in the fact that I write fresh notes every time, so there's always room for variation. I get bored easily, and I get bored with my old notes, so I like to redo things. And this is just a verse, again, that God has challenged me personally with this week. It's something that I'm struggling with, and I'd like to just talk about it. If nothing else, it's gonna by spending about 30 minutes talking about this, it's gonna embed it more deeply into my mind. So even if all of you fall asleep, there will still be some good done. that doesn't happen. We're gonna look at Luke chapter 22, and verse 24. And maybe before I go on, I'll say this. Those of you who have listened to me for any length of time know that I am always talking about what goes on inside of me and what goes on inside of you. And sometimes you'll hear preachers, a friend of mine was saying, his preacher says this a lot. You read the Bible and then you go do it. And so there's preachers that say, we need you to go as a missionary to India this morning. You read the Bible, preach the gospel to every creature, go into all the world, and so you can say, all right, I'm going to do that. And you stand up and go to India. Is that the only thing there is to Christianity? There are also things in Scripture that you don't have to go anywhere to do, but you should still do them. And I've spent many years of my life hitting those inward things, those things that the Bible tells you to do them, but you don't have to go anywhere to do them. You can just do them sitting there. I think the reason is because I've seen Christians who bother me. You know, you look at someone's life and the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and kindness and I can never remember the order, faith, temperance. And you look at that person's life and say, wow, they are so mean and harsh and rough. And those people stand up and they become missionaries in India. And those are probably the best missionaries to go into those hard places because they can fight and they can make it. But Christianity is both. There are things that you need to go do and then there's things that you just need to do. And this is one of those things, again, you need to do this, and you don't need to go anywhere to do it. And it's about being childlike. It's one of the most intriguing concepts in the gospel. I can't imagine a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim teaching this doctrine, but Jesus teaches it, and more than once, about being like a child. Let's just read this verse in Luke 22. And I'll start reading in verse 24. He says, there also was a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. He's not, this isn't the clearest verse on being childlike, but this is the verse that jumped out at me this week. In verse 26, he says, let him be as the younger. And this whole passage starts out with them striving, fighting, arguing about who's going to be the most important person in this new kingdom. Who's going to be the greatest in this kingdom? And Jesus pretty much says, there's no room for that attitude in my kingdom. If you want to be something great in my kingdom, you're going to have to be as the younger. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. What does it mean to be as the younger? Now, this is an amazingly important doctrine. In fact, last night I realized how many times this is mentioned. There's doctrines that Christians preach on that are mentioned less than this doctrine of childlikeness. I'd just like to read how important it is to be like a child. By the way, I just love this doctrine because it means I don't have to grow up, right? What other religion on earth lets you not grow up? But listen, it's more important than that. In Mark 10, verse 13, it says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. And that's amazing, because Jesus in Matthew 10, like verse 42, says, whoever gives, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. What I'd like you to think about is the contrast between Jesus and Jesus' attitude towards children and his disciples' attitudes towards children. So here they are, the disciples are pushing them away. And Jesus teaches the opposite. He says in Mark 10:14, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Allow the little children to come to me. Don't push them away. And he says, here's why. For of such is the kingdom of God. It's people like this that are going to make it into heaven. Isn't that amazing? And he goes on to say in Mark 10:15, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Is it important to be like a child? It's so important that Jesus says, you won't go to heaven unless you become like a child. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. In Luke 18, he does the exact same thing. 18:15, he says, and they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And again, suffer means to allow, let them. Let little children come to me. Allow little children to come to me. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. He also says in another place to humble yourself. It's in Matthew 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that it were drowned in the depth of the sea. And there's more places where he talks about allowing the little children to come to him. Here in Matthew 18, verse 5, it says, whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. And I'm not quite sure how that ties in. In some of the Gospels, that's all he does, is he just says, you got to receive little children. When they're arguing about who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he instantly starts talking about receiving little children. And then in other accounts, he says you need to be as a little child. And here in Matthew 18, he does both. He says you need to be a little child and you need to receive a little child. I wish I knew exactly what he was trying to teach there. But one thing that comes to my mind every time I think on this subject is how easy children are to overlook. Worse yet, it's that children are a pest sometimes. They're an interference with adult things. And it's better to just get them out of there so that they don't interrupt the conversation, so they don't interrupt my life. Picture somebody who's trying to be very, very successful in life. And they have drive, and they have a vision and a goal, and they want to be successful. It's that kind of a person that's going to trip over the kids without even seeing that they're there. Because, unfortunately, some people who get so success-oriented and so ambitious and so driven, they don't have time anymore for a child. But they have time for other things. What do they have time for? They have time for things that are going to make them more successful. They have time for things that look good in front of people that they're trying to impress. In order to be successful, you have to impress certain kinds of people. And impressing 5-year-olds is not important to being a success. So if a little kid comes into your life, he's actually an interruption to your goal. He's an interruption to your dream. He's an interruption to your success. And these disciples are full of it, right? They're full of this ambition. They're full of this driving goal pursuit. And Jesus said, that's not how you as a Christian are supposed to be. You're not supposed to be so ambitious and so goal-oriented and trying to get to the top so fast that you don't pay attention to children. You're supposed to be surrendered to God enough. You're supposed to be humble enough to stop and spend time with kids. To give them a drink of water if they need a drink of water. And that's how I think this ties into being great. That's why I think in some accounts in the Gospels, he simply goes right to receiving children. Other accounts, he says, be like a child. And in Matthew 18, he says, do both. Be a child and receive children. Because in that goal to be humble, and in that goal to be a child, you're going to slow down. And you're going to treat those kids as just as important as the adults. And not only that, but he's saying these are the kind of people that are going to get into heaven. We need to watch them and use them as our example. So in Luke 22, in that verse we originally read where he says the younger, and no doubt it's kind of a a rabbit trail. But I'd like to tie that together. What does it mean to be younger? They're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And in Luke 22:25, he says, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. I'm not sure exactly what all he was saying, but giving orders, whatever a king or a prince does, you go here, you do this, you collect this many taxes, you spend this money on these projects, you go to fight these wars, and you listen to me. Otherwise, there will be a big consequence. He says that's how the world around us operates. When somebody's in charge, when somebody's in authority, when somebody's in leadership, they give orders. They are the top dog. They are the boss. And then he says that they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. He says not only are they the top dog, and not only do they give orders, and not only do they decide who gets to live and who gets to die, but then they sit there and they say they are benefactors. We are wealthy people that are helping mankind. We are wealthy people that are improving the living conditions of the human race. And I've said this probably 8 times already. Those are the people that get their name in the paper with the photo, with the check, right? So-and-so gives $500 to so-and-so. Because I'm rich and you're poor. I'm just better than you. So I'm going to give you money so that you can be as good as me, right? And Jesus is saying, this has no place in Christianity. This has no place in Christianity. If you want to be an authority, if you want to be great, if you want to go somewhere in this Christian life, you can't be a boss. You can't be bossy. If you want to get somewhere in this life, you can't think that you're better than the people around you. You can't think that you're God's gift to the human race. You have to have a lower opinion of yourself than that. In fact, he totally flips it upside down. He says, you got to be the last. If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and the servant of all. A lord or a king is going to sit on a throne and he's going to tell you what he wants for supper and what time and who you're supposed to invite, and it better be perfect. A servant is the one that humbly bows at the feet of the king and says, King, what do you want for supper? What can I do for you? And Jesus said, if you want to be great, you got to be the servant. You got to bow to other people and ask them what they want. And go do it. So in Luke 22, verse 26, he says, but ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you. What is he saying? Is he saying that the person that lives by these biblical principles is going to get somewhere in life? I think so. Is he saying that when that person dies and walks through the gates of heaven, the Lord is going to give him a bigger crown than everyone else? I think so. I think both are true. Greatness. Greatness probably on this earth. And definitely greatness when we walk into heaven. He says, if you want to be great, be as the younger. And he that is chief as he that doth serve. The most important person among you needs to be the greatest servant among you. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Doesn't Jesus say somewhere, I came not to be served, but to serve I can't quote it. I came not to be ministered to, but to minister. And of course, he encapsulates that in one of the neatest things that our Lord ever did at the Last Supper, when he stands up from the table and he takes off his outer clothing and he wraps a towel around him and he goes around and he washes all those disciples' feet. And it's a touching moment. It stirs in those people's hearts because Peter, when they finally get to Peter, he says, Lord, don't wash my feet. You're the man that John the Baptist said, I'm not even worthy to untie your shoe. And Peter said, you're too good to wash my feet. I feel the same way when Jesus insists on forgiving me. I say, Lord, I'm too dirty and you're too beautiful. How can you forgive me? And he forgives me. That's salvation. So the Lord, not only did the Lord speak these words, but he did it. He did it. He slowed down enough to pull those kids into his lap and to pray with them. He slowed down enough to wash his disciples' feet. The very disciples that are arguing about who's going to be the best, he washes their feet. And so the Lord, who we know is the greatest of all, the first fruits, resurrected from the dead, glorified body, sitting at the right hand of the Father, gave us an example to follow. Be as the younger. Now, I was racking my brain trying to figure out a whole big long list of what it means to be younger. And I was kind of stumped. And does anybody here know of anything? Does anything pop into your head when you think of being younger than somebody? What does it mean to be younger than somebody? Is it merely age that Jesus is talking about here? He says you're supposed to be it, so maybe we should find out what it means to be younger. Oh, he gets picked on. Now, does the older brother ever get picked on?
Not as much.
Not as much. Why? Oh, okay. So the little brother has to get picked on without being able to get revenge. That's what it means to be younger, right? That's a very good concept. To be as the younger is to get picked on without being able to properly pound the other guy's face in. I think you're onto something. When Jesus said, you are supposed to be as the younger, I think he meant that. Because if you're a king of the Gentiles and someone picks on you, what do? You kill him. He says, you're not like that. And of course, that goes right into Romans. Vengeance is mine. To overcome evil with good. To heap burning coals on your enemy's head. And to take torment and persecution quietly. Without getting revenge. Without talking back. Anybody else? You have to listen to more. You have to do what they tell you, right? And you can't argue and you can't get out of it. What does that make you then? A servant. Yes. Be not many masters. But we're supposed to be a servant. We're supposed to be a servant of everybody. Anybody else? A child? I just pulled things out. What were you going to say, Doug?
I was going to say a lot of times, as like, you have a line of children coming along, a lot of times the older ones will have a job for a couple months and then it passes on down to the next one. But the youngest gets stuck without a dirty job.
I'll take your word for that. I was the oldest in my family. And I always thought that my younger siblings never did have to do dirty jobs. But yeah. Right. The oldest got the inheritance. And there were two men that were arguing about that. Didn't they ask Jesus, make my brother give me my portion of the inheritance or something? And Jesus isn't into that. But that's because Jesus wants him to be as the younger. Just some things I brainstormed this. A child is not as educated. The younger person is not as far ahead in school as the older person, which means they're not as qualified. They're not as smart. They don't know as much. They're not as eligible. They're not as eligible for a promotion. And what does that mean then? If you're not as smart and not as eligible and not as educated, that means what? You probably shouldn't say as much, right? If you sat with Albert Einstein, you probably wouldn't want to go into great detail about your math skills, would you? His math skills went places that apparently nobody ever has gone. In Albert Einstein's presence, you would be as the younger. You'd say, I have to simply sit here and listen to this man every time he says something because he's so much above me, and I will be quiet. Another thing that popped into my head when I was thinking about the younger was Laura Ingalls Wilder's books, and I can't remember which book, but they said children must be seen and not heard, right? At the dinner table, when the whole family is sitting there, the kids were supposed to be quiet so the adults could talk. I don't agree with that. Maybe I'm too modern and liberal. But, if Scripture, you're supposed to receive them and give them water. And way back 100, 150 years ago, a child wasn't supposed to talk. And why am I bringing this up? Because it's something I keep reminding myself. Brandon, just shut up. You're really not as impressive as you think you are. You know, just be quiet. You know? That's what it means to be as the younger, to be as the less smart one. Now, if you're not as eligible for promotion, what does that mean? Well, that means you're not going to budge in line and try to be the first one when there's a promotion available, right? You're going to be at the back of the line saying, these people are more qualified than I am. These people would do a better job than I would. And so again, you're taking that last place. Jesus says, he's talking about those Pharisees. They love to be called Father. They make their clothes big. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. And greetings in the marketplace, in the markets. And to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. And Jesus says, but be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So here you have these very educated men. They have these very religious-looking clothes on. And people actually call out to them, Rabbi, Rabbi, I have a question for you. Is an egg that's laid on the Sabbath kosher or not? Or whatever their question is. They're the men that are supposed to know the answers to these questions. And they like being that way. And when they walk into church, they make sure they sit in the amen corner on the front row because they're just better than everyone else, right? Now, what would it mean to be the younger in that situation? It would be to say, I don't actually deserve to be called a master. I don't actually deserve to have the seats of honor in church. I don't actually deserve to have the seats of honor at a feast. So there again, I'm injecting that doctrine of being as the younger into this passage on the Pharisees. It fits perfectly. We're supposed to be as the younger. We're supposed to act like the less intelligent of the two, right? I mean, you don't have to be retarded or something, but just to give them the chance to talk, you know? I don't approve of what one of my coworkers is doing right now, but he's learning a philosophy, a very ungodly philosophy. But I got a kick out of one of his statements. He says, what is the most dangerous statement you can make? And I don't think this is necessarily the most dangerous statement you can make, but it was good food for thought. He says, the most dangerous statement you can make is, I already know. And I was like, that's good. If you already know everything, you're going to be doing all the talking and none of the listening, right? And Jesus says, no, you're supposed to be as the younger, as the smaller of the two. Children, this is a totally different train of thought, but children occasionally have this ability to be very fair. If everybody in the room gets a treat and somebody gets missed, it's the little kid that says, Mom, so-and-so did not get a treat, right? Have you ever seen a kid do that? Very fair. They're equal opportunity people, sometimes. Unless you have a toy that they want really bad. But they can do both. And I've seen both. A little kid makes sure that everyone's included. They make sure everyone's invited. They don't want anyone to be left out. And again, if we as Christians could absorb that into our minds and live that way, what kind of people would we be? To always try to include everybody, to always make sure everyone got the same treatment, which means that I have to get less treatment than the people around me. The younger person is the apprentice. They're the learner. Jeff had a very good thing to say on that. It takes time to move up in the ranks. And an apprentice really ought not to be telling the master mason how to do things. He should act like an apprentice. He should act like the learner. I haven't seen children being very career-oriented, success-oriented, or ambitious. And I don't think they're too... I don't have kids of my own, but I don't think there's a whole lot of trying to be better than the people around them. I think that comes later in life. They're willing to turn their position over to someone more qualified. A good child can say, Daddy, I'm making a mess of this. Can you take over? It's not working. Can you do it? They're willing to give over to someone who can do this. Some other things, children are very, very, very trusting. Jasper's at the age where he will dive off your lap, and if you don't have his shirt tail or his leg, he would have hit the floor. He assumes you're catching him. Now, how many of you would dive off someone's lap without notice, without previous notice, and just know that they're going to catch you? A few weeks ago, I was throwing Crystal and Christina and Jasper on the bed. Rah! And as soon as Christina got up in my arms, she wouldn't let go, and I'm like, oh, dear. This isn't going to look as good as with Jasper. Crystal trusted me. I don't know why. But the older we get, the more white-knuckle experiences we have, and that's because the more things we hang on to more tightly, and the child knows how to let go and relax. I think that's very, very crucial. A child is very gullible. They're very believing. Another example of this, Jasper right now likes to be hung upside down. And again, somebody would have to be pretty angelic for me to allow them to hang me upside down. That's why I don't bungee jump. A child, very gullible. They believe things, which is a good thing. And how many times do we as adults forget that God loves us? How many times do we forget that we're forgiven? You know, it's amazing. Oh, to believe, just trust like a little child again. A child is not ashamed to ask for things. You know, even if they are brats, they still ask for things. And we as adults have this mentality, well, you don't deserve to ask for things, okay? But a child doesn't know that, and that's how God wants us to be towards Him. We have to realize that actually we never really deserve to ask for anything ever. But we still are supposed to ask because of how gracious God is, how loving He is, and how merciful He is. So those are just some things I thought of. To be as the younger, to just not let on that you know as much as the other guy, to not talk as much to the other as the other guy, to just listen, to obey the other guy, to do what would make the other guy happy and please him, and to not get revenge when you're being mistreated. I think all of those are good examples of being as the younger. Now, at the end of all this, I'd like to just talk about why this is so important. This week, the Lord just kind of joggled my brain cells and said, Brandon, if it's true that you're supposed to be like a child, and if it's true that you're supposed to be as the younger, that means any time you walk into a room full of people, you got to say, I'm a baby. I'm a little boy. I'm younger than everybody else in this room. Isn't that what that means? If you are truly going to be the younger, that means any time you walk into a circumstance, your first thought should be, I am going to be the baby in this situation. I am going to be the child in this situation. I am going to be the little boy in this room full of people. In fact, I'm going to be younger than any of the rest of you. And that's very humiliating. I've spent most of my life trying to be a man. But it's amazing how well it works when you can say, I'm going to be the youngest person here tonight. I'm going to be the youngest person here this morning. Try it. What exactly happens in your mind and heart when you do that? Humility. It's humility. And humility has got to be the key to the kingdom of heaven. I think that's why Jesus says, you're not going to enter heaven until you get humble like a child. Humility is where we get victory as Christians. If you're having trouble in your life, getting victory over a sin or something, you might want to look into it. Are you humble? What is your view of yourself? How do you compare yourself with other people? Are you the youngest in the room? Humility is wonderful. Dan just preached how humility is the key to having faith. It really is. So he says, humble yourself as a little child. Just to close, why do we need to be like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven? Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. First of all, we have to be like a child and believe that Jesus loves us. Now you might say, that's a little bit out of order. I don't think it's out of order. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved the world first. 1 John 4:19 says that he loved us first. We love him because he first loved us. It's the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. Jesus loves you. But that does not mean that you're not going to hell. God loves you, but that does not mean you're not going to hell. You have to become a child and believe that God loves you as a sinner. That God died for you as a sinner. And then you have to go to God and say, God, I am a sinner. And again, the honesty in a child's life. We have to humble ourselves like a child and admit the sin that runs through our mind. We have to admit the sin that runs through our hearts and our lives. We have to admit we're sinning. And like a little child, we have to admit that we can't stop sinning. Like a little child, we have to admit that we can't be holy. When a little child is given a job to do that's too complicated or too big for them, they say, I can't. And we also have to be little children. And when we're trying to be holy and when we're trying to be good enough for God, we have to get to the place where we say, I can't, Lord. I can't be good enough. And you got to take that mess and put it back in the box and give the box to God and say, God, you fix me. You change me. You work in me. I was just having a conversation with somebody. In this day and age, you hear a lot of people saying, you got to admit who you are first. That's the beginning. You have to admit who you are. And unfortunately, there's people that don't do that. Every time they're mean, they justify it. And say, well, I'm not really mean. I just had an allergy, or I just had a moment, or whatever. The very first step you have to do is get to that point where you say, you know, I'm a sinner. And don't dilute it. But there's another thing. You have to do more than just to be able to start at rock bottom and say, I'm a sinner. You have to know how to proceed from that point. In my life, I would get to that point, I'm a sinner, I'm a wreck, I can't go any farther than this. But then the next morning I'd wake up and I'd fight and struggle and try and cry and scream to be more holy. It doesn't work. Righteousness is a gift. Salvation is a gift. Not only do you have to realize that you're a sinner at rock bottom, but you have to realize that you're not going to go anywhere from there without gifts from God. Which means you spend the rest of your life saying, me, as a carnal human, without the Lord Jesus Christ, I am a failure. But I am accepting that righteousness daily, hourly, by the minute, from Jesus Christ. I'm accepting the Spirit of God to dwell in me, to live in me. Righteousness is a gift. And again, we have to humble ourselves as children to receive that gift. We have to humble ourselves like Peter when he's getting his feet washed and say, I don't deserve the Lord to wash my feet, but I guess I have to take it. I don't deserve for Jesus Christ to forgive me of all of my sins, but I'm just going to take it, to accept that gift as a child. Admitting who you are and admitting that you need Jesus to live in you to make you into something. Salvation. Jesus loves you, but you've got to admit who you are and you've got to receive a gift. A gift of salvation, a gift of righteousness. We have to be little children to be saved, and we have to be as little children to live. We have to be as the younger to be something great. We have to humble ourselves like a little child to enter into heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Father, thank you that your plan of salvation is so beautiful. Father, thank you for giving us something attainable. Father, I just pray that we would reach out in faith and receive everything that you want to give us from heaven. Help us to be humble, to be young. Father, I ask that you would guide us through the rest of our day. Father, I pray that you would bless the meeting tonight also, and that you would mightily anoint the listeners and the speaker. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's dismiss.